Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, you know how they say time flies when you're having fun. We're having a blast today. We had Kevin McHale on. We talked a lot about Game 7. We talked about Norv Turner calling it a career in Minnesota and being out there. A lot of good things on this show. And we got to some stories about Kevin McHale. And again, we've got an hour to go, so we want you a part of the show. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, you can call us, or you can hit us up on Twitter. At Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny, and at No Hit Nick. And guys, I think that, again, getting back after Kurt Lowe's call to coach, you kind of, when he's going through the stresses and the trials and tribulations of an NBA season, you kind of miss out on the true personality and kind of the guy he really is. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun this year with him, because just that little tidbit of what he can do in a long setting with us here weekly is going to be a lot of fun, because his stories, he doesn't hold back, and because he's old school, there's a lot of shenanigans involved too. That's going to be some good stuff.
Yeah, you get more of the person and less of the coach and the coach speak,
right?
Because he can relax. So that's good. That'll be good, man. That was fun.
So the story,
hell of a way to start it.
Yeah. So the story goes, for those of you, you know, I grew up in Milwaukee, but I actually growing up was a ball boy and then the locker room manager for the visiting team for the Bucks when they were good. And they used to inevitably play either the Sixers or the Celtics in the playoffs. And those were some great series, because the Bucks would always give both of those teams all that they could handle before they got ready for the finals. So the Celtics were in town the year that, I think it was 84. And there was a very prominent Milwaukee attorney that had season tickets right behind the Celtics bench. Well, one of the things we did when we set up everything for Ray Melchiori, the guy that would inevitably be the Rockets trainer later, was the longtime Celtics trainer. He always had smelling salts for the players right before they went out for the jump circle, because of the fact that the guys like that little jolt to kind of wake up call before they hit. Well, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Dennis Johnson, they all cracked open the smelling salts, took a sniff, threw them under the bench. I didn't think about it at the time, but the attorney, I saw him reach down and grab one of the broken smelling salts.
Yeah.
Well, the game goes on. The Celtics win. I believe they went on to win the championship. They had obviously an unbelievable team. And so as the locker room manager, I was the guy that ended up opening the locker room for the media. And then the media would all file in and get all their interviews out of the way. They didn't have the podium like they do today in the NBA. So I get ready to go and open the door, but I slide out of the locker room, and I'm ready to open, and a guy taps me on the shoulder and says, is this the visiting team locker room? I said, yeah, I kind of laughed, and I said, yeah. And he shows me a badge, and he says, Milwaukee Police Department.
Uh-oh.
And so I said, okay. He says, so why don't you step over here to the side? So I open up the doors. I step over to the side, and he says, now, can you tell me who Larry Bird is? And I started laughing again. God. Yeah, and I'm literally laughing now. And he's like, look, kid. You don't want to be a part of this. So you better just, you know, don't be a punk and show me who Larry Bird is. And so I kind of like smirk still a little bit, but I look and I go, okay, so you see that ring of like 100 people in the corner of the locker room over there? Well, right in the middle of it is Larry Bird. And he goes, look, I'm being serious right now. He goes, we got something at the crime lab, and if things don't go well, we may be arresting Larry Bird between now and the next hour or so. And I was like, oh my, you know, what the?
Wow, this is crazy.
So it was nuts. Right? So I see him go in, and I see Larry get like red in the face, and they wait. He obviously was at least cool enough to wait till the media kind of died down. And lo and behold, of course, they find out it was just smelling salts. It was ammonia. He's good. So fast forward to the next game, and Larry normally is like real quiet before games, and you know, Bill Fitch and the coaching staff were, you know, drawing up the game plan, talking about things, and Larry just stands up in the middle of the team meeting, and basically every expletive in the book was used, but it was basically he killed my hometown. It was like, let's get out of this effing crap hole, to use it, you know, yeah, get yeah. out of this effing city against this effing team, so we never have to effing come back here again. And the only way to do that is we kick the living F out of these people and wallop them and never have to come back. And the team was all fired up. And so we get out for pregame warmups, and I'm you know, getting some stuff together at the bench, and McHale and Bird come back to me, and they said, all right, we want to know who he is. And I was like, who? And they're like, we want to know the guy that did all this, that got the cop. I said, oh, okay, cool. So right before before lineup started, I point the guy out, And, like, Bird and McHale looked at each other, and then they looked at the guy, and they kind of nodded. And throughout the game, you could tell they were sending little nonverbal messages. But, obviously, Bird was fired up. He had 30-something. I mean, he went nuts. The Celtics, like, blew him out. And Bird was done with it at that point. You know, he basically was like, okay, we're not coming back here because we're going to win the next game. We're going to be out. And McHale wasn't done. So he walked up to him after the game, and the guy ended up, as an attorney normally does, has a tie on. Well, McHale's pretty savvy about these kind of things and realizes if you pull the right tab on a tie, it's not only going to tighten, but it's going to make breathing pretty hard. And McHale walked over like he was going to shake his hand, and he grabbed the fat end of the tie and just yanked down as hard as he could. And the next thing you know, it was like a siren at the top of a guy's head. I mean, his whole body, the blood rushed, and the guy's like, and McHale was like, he was pulling it, but he kind of looked around like, I should probably stop. And he finally just let go and kind of flicked it away. And the guy was like, and he just walked away. And he goes, you know, what an a-hole. And they ended up, you know, as I said, doing great things. But that's hilarious. Celtics team was. I mean, they just had an aura about them. Like, if you can beat us on the court, good luck to you. But if you're going to pull any crap like that, we can take you down.
Yeah, I always felt like, you know, in the 80, 84, 86, watching the Celtics and the Rockets and going at it, I always had that feeling like the Celtics, I don't want to say dirty, but close.
Oh, man.
And very gritty, fight a lot. And maybe dirty is the right word.
Well,
I don't know.
Talk about Lakers, at least Lakers Celtics.
Perception of
Lakers were the pretty boy, fast-breaking team, clean and, you know, and sleek. And the Celtics were the, you know, grind it out,
raw,
beat
gritty.
You into a pulp, whatever we need to do to win is Boom, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So that was cool. So we're going to have great stories from McHale throughout the year, but a great time to have him join us as the season's just getting underway in the NBA. So we've had Kurt Lowe talk Rockets. If you want to join in on Rockets talk, you can do that. We can talk about Texans. We can talk about Game 7 tonight. Plenty to talk about. Plenty on the board. Plenty more to come. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Barry Laminack, Joel Blank, and Nick Sciarra up until 4 o'clock. Been a pretty damn good show so far, if I don't say so myself, but
pretty
I'll
fun.
Do. It's been fun.
And, hey, can I bring something up real quick? Do you mind?
Do I ever?
I don't know. No, you never ahead. Do. Do you guys know who Marlon Man is? Marlon Man?
Oh, yeah. He's the guy that goes to all the games and sits behind on plate. I always wonder, because there's an NBA guy like that, Jimmy Goldstein, that dresses like a Rolling Stones roadie. And I always wonder how these guys get these tickets. And Marlon's guy has been to like every baseball game, right?
Yeah. And
he wears a Marlins jersey.
Yeah, and I think he's I don't know what he's like dying of cancer or he has cancer.
Ooh, that's not cool.
There's something there that's wrong with him, and I forgive me for not knowing exactly what it is. I'm sure I'll get plenty of tweets and texts about what actually is going wrong with him. But he said that this will be the first World Series that he's missed in 5 years because he fears for his safety, which is terrible.
Wait, he's been at every playoff game. He's been to some of the World Series, has he not?
Says Marlon Man will not be at Game 7. It will be the first World Series he has missed in 5 years. Says decision has to do with his safety. That was from Darren Rovell.
We got to check that out, because I thought in the early games, maybe even in Cleveland, I thought I saw him once.
It says that he said Levy also tweeted last week that he had to change the settings on his account because he had received too many rude messages from Indians fans.
Wow. Really?
Just come on, man. Like, dude, leave
that's
the dude
like okay,
alone.
So you go back in time. The guy with the Yosemite, and Barry, more, probably me and you would remember this more than Nick, but the guy with the rainbow colored afro that had the Yosemite Sam mustache that always had the John 3:16 sign. He was at all the national games, football and baseball and whatever. Before that, it was Morgana, the kissing bandit that used to run on the field and try and kiss famous players. And then more recently, like I said, Jim Goldstein's a guy that everybody knows. He always wears like leather outfits and the leather cowboy hat, and he looks like death warmed over, but he always has a hot chick next to him. And like he literally goes to sometimes two NBA playoff games in the same day. But his whole thing is once the playoffs start in the NBA, he is prevalent courtside seats at as many games as he can possibly get to, and always all the finals games. And Marlon's guy was becoming that guy. That's disappointing to hear that.
Yeah, he on the score, he tweeted this out, Marlins Man did, Marlins _man on Twitter. But he said Levy had issues with fans at Progressive Field in June with a 58-year-old when the 58-year-old lawyer saying that he had to leave the stadium in order to avoid further harassment. Everywhere I went, I was threatened. He said, "I can't even use the words in the video and publish it, but it was like, get out of here. If I wish I had my gun or a knife. If I didn't leave my knife in the pickup truck, I'd stab you right here." Like, that's horrible.
Jeez. Yeah. And you would think, and you hear Dodger Stadium's bad, and the whole, you know, that whole thing that happened with the Dodger fan and the Giants fan and that guy that'll never be the same because he got beat up by Dodger fans.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers were in the playoffs. You would think, you know, if anybody had a problem, I mean, I don't know, I get it. The Marlins National League, Dodgers National League, maybe fans would have a little bit of a beef, but a Marlin fan in Cleveland, and who cares?
Yeah. I wish I would remember why he's going to all the games. I know there was a reason.
You're Mr. not only analytics, but Mr. scanning the internet in the blink of an eye. I can't believe you can't find it.
Well, you want to get it right, but there's a reason why. I would imagine it's just him being a huge fanatic, but I don't know either. I'm just guessing.
No, but I'm saying Barry's so good with his computer, normally
you
can find. Derek Lockridge, by the way, on Twitter just said he won't go back to Cleveland because of how rude they are. Story came out when the Indians won the American League, but there's got to be more to it. I mean, you're getting to some of the details, but I just think that's sad. That's the sad state of our entire nation right now with everything that we got going on, that a guy can't go just because he's wearing. Look, the guy's making a hell of an effort, and he's going to all these games, and suddenly he's not going to go to a city and go to a game and run a streak of World Series games and ruin it because of fans being rude. I think that's taking it too far.
We got a text in that they assumed that I was the one telling the bird story, but that is not the case. That was Joel.
That was me.
And the text said, "Oh my God, I guess you're the one telling the story about Bird. I'm a huge NBA fan, but because of CBS and 80s NBA, love the Bucks teams, Mokeski, Pierce, T. Cummings, most underrated 80s forward. Please tell one more story." So
I'll try and think of one. But basically, you got to remember, before there was Paul Mokeski, who, by the way, was Don Nelson's hitman. Don Nelson kept Paul Mokeski on the roster for one reason only. Charles Barkley hated him, and he would literally put him in the game, and the Bucks would be down like 10, 14 points, and he'd put him in the game, and basically they'd have like the little wink head nod thing. And his whole thing was, I'm going to get under Barkley's skin and try and get him thrown out, because Nelly always thought the greatest trade-off in the world would be Mokeski gets thrown out, Barkley gets thrown out, and I end up with a really good situation on my hands. So Mo was like the goon, like in hockey. He was always there, and he was the greatest guy off the field. I mean, off the court. Like, he would ask me how my high school games would go, and if, like, we had a high school golf tournament. Back then, he was sponsored by, like, Spalding. And he'd be like, "Hey, I got Spalding to send you some golf balls for your next golf tournament," stuff like that. I was like, man, that's really cool. And the teams back then that Milwaukee had were great teams because they had Sidney Moncrief in the Hall of Fame, Marcus Johnson, who was always great. Bob Lanier played on those teams. And even before that, growing up, Quinn Buckner, Brian Winters. There were some good teams, but those were some great rivalries, and people forget about that. But yeah, CBS was the only thing going, and USA Network had the cable rights to NBA games, and it was like how far we've come with television that those were the deals back then, and those were your only options, was like two games a week on USA and a game of the week on weekends on CBS. And then in the playoffs, they would tape delay Lakers-Celtics till after your news. So if you're a basketball junkie, the only way you could see the games was like at 10:30 at night. It was ridiculous back then.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Back then, too, teams did have a goon. Like, they had a guy.
Oh, yeah.
That was their hitman. Like, I think the Rockets used to keep like Larry Smith or somebody like that just to be that guy.
Oh, Mr.
guy.
Mean was that guy for sure.
Yeah, but it's kind of sad we don't have that now. That wouldn't bother me.
And you remember Charles Oakley, and you remember guys like the Anthony Mason were those guys.
Was Beverly kind of that guy now or no?
I mean, I think they look at Pat Bev as being a guy that won't take anything from anybody.
But really, I mean, you know.
But I think
Beverly's
forever.
Not scaring a lot of
We always said.
You don't think so?
Going back to the days of Yao. We always said
kind of scary. I don't know.
Your best player needs an enforcer because Yao was. We always said with Yao, if he had one of those type guys, because Yao took so many cheap shots that you needed a guy, an enforcer back then, so that Yao wouldn't take the abuse that he took. Because a lot of nights Yao would go to the locker room and you would see these like long red gashes all over his shoulders and the backs of his arms, and he was bleeding all over the place. And they weren't called. They weren't fouls. They were just part of the game, according to the officials. Yeah. And it was brutal how much crap he took.
Yeah.
And I will say this. The Bucks always, when I was growing up, the Bucks always hosted the Rockets on like a Saturday or Sunday afternoon at a noon game. there was no doubt in anyone's mind that Calvin Murphy would end up in a fight during that game. And pound for pound, I know Roy Jones Jr., they say pound for pound, the greatest fighter of all time. Pound for pound in the NBA, Calvin Murphy has to be one of the greatest fighters of all time.
I've heard that.
Because that man could beat the living tar out of anybody 7 foot tall and below.
I've heard that. Like, he was just scrappy.
Ridiculous how good of a fighter he was.
That's what I have no idea.
Yeah. And he's got some stories. Like, we'll have Murph on again. Some of Murph's greatest stories are about fights. And it's crazy because even Murph knew his limitations. I was like, is there anybody in the league that you were afraid of? And believe it or not, a guy who ended up being the general manager of the Golden State Warriors and is still in their front office, but a guy who was a hell of a player back in the day named Al Addles. Al Addles was the kryptonite for Calvin Murphy. He's like, there's one guy I won't mess with. You know, we talked about Tony Allen, and we talked about like Zebo, Zach Randolph, some of the guys in the league now you just don't mess with. Calvin Murphy's guy was Al Addles, and he's like, I will fight anybody at any time but Al Addles. That's just the way it is. I know Al. I know how dirty he can be and what he can get done. I'm not doing it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so he had him marked.
You know, apparently, maybe there's nothing. I got some bad information. It doesn't look like I can find that there's actually anything wrong with Marlins man other than he's a big fan. But I swear to God, I think it was Shock or Tyler on Sunday.
Oh, now you're trying to blame somebody.
Yeah, okay. Dumping someone under the bus, right?
Because I brought it up, and they were like, yeah, that dude's got cancer. And I was like, oh, that sucks, or whatever it was that they told me he had.
Nice job, Shock and Tyler.
Yeah, I swear to you, though, I saw him in one of the first two games in Cleveland.
Well, he's saying game seven, but I didn't even know who the dude was, really. I just had seen him, and then I brought it up on Houston game day, and then they were, I got that info. Maybe I am throwing him under the bus.
Because he's really not missing the World Series, and he's just missing game seven, but he's made it to another World Series, which is cool.
But why would you threaten anyone? That's ridiculous.
I agree with you completely. I mean, again, we always talk about it. It's just sports. It's entertainment. Yeah. It's not real life. Don't make it real life and real serious by doing stuff like that. There's just no need for it. Like, you know what? If you win tonight, Cleveland, just celebrate. Don't set car. Don't pull a Detroit. Don't set cars on fire. Don't go looting. Don't do all that stuff.
There's nothing wrong with illuminating the downtown skylight. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, now you're encouraging.
I'm just joking. Like, that's the lowest form of celebration ever. Why you feel the need to tear up your city has always been beyond me.
Yeah, and I got one on that, too. I got one from my college days. That's a good one there. That did try to illuminate a small city in the state of Wisconsin. So we'll get to that more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it doesn't get any better than this. We've had a great show so far. It's about to get even better because my man Keenan McCardell is in the studio joining us for his regularly scheduled half hour from 3:30 to 4 on Wednesdays. And before we get to K-Mac, and Mac, we'll get to your stories as well. We were talking about celebrations gone bad, and I said I hope if Cleveland wins tonight that they don't go nuts and burn anything and start cars on fire. And Barry, kind of tongue-in-cheek, said he kind of hopes they do.
No.
And then he stopped it.
Barry, why did you stop?
Because he stopped it. He was going there.
I was like, there's nothing wrong with illuminating your city's skyline. And then I was like, I'm just kidding. That. Don't set anything on fire.
Please
That's
don't.
That's not a way to do it. And he's not like, Barry said as you do it. No.
Because Barry dumps me under the bus enough that I can do it too.
Yeah, but I don't make it up.
You were ready to go with that, and then you stopped it about like three sentences in. But the damage was already done.
Oh, man.
I don't know if y'all have any stories like that. So
those
in La Crosse, Wisconsin, they had the second largest Oktoberfest in the world next to Germany. So they also have more bars per capita of people anywhere in the United States. Mm-hmm. So during Oktoberfest, let's just say some alcoholic beverages are consumed. Well, one night back when our baseball team we were pretty good, and we needed everybody, all hands on deck. Well, at bar time, we still would go out.
Right.
And there's the main street is 3rd Street in La Crosse, and like all these bars are on both sides of the street. Well, as a typical Wisconsin person would do, they start the debate on one side of the street versus the other, tastes great versus less filling for light beer.
Uh-huh. Really?
And it goes from just like fun and games to like people taking it seriously. Next thing you know, and this is like right when like all these news shows start TMZ on, they tip a squad car upside down and they start to like spin it like a top in the middle of the street. And there's like literally there's a ton of people in the street. And one guy decides, well, I think the cool thing to do right now is to torch this bad boy.
Oh,
and
no.
sets... So it turns out it was the roommate of our center fielder.
His car?
No, it was the guy who set the car on fire. So the next day, we got a huge doubleheader. We're all in the locker room. We're looking around. Our center fielder's name is Dan Bridges. And everybody's like, anybody seen Danny? Anybody seen Bridge?
Right.
Everybody's looking around, and one guy goes, so you know that the cops found out that that was Danny's roommate that set the cop car on fire. We're like, no. So, like, the cops were all around, and our locker was separate from the field. Dan shows up from some strange random car, drives up to the dugout. Dan ducks down and slides into the dugout. Coach says, I'm putting him in the lineup. And they got him out into center field before anybody could get to him.
The police were waiting on him.
But he actually got to play before they questioned him. And they couldn't put him away for it. But it was like, man, that was some serious stuff. Because that was on, like, not the local news. That was all over the national news. They set a cop car on fire.
Oh, I don't.
That's Wisconsin.
No, it's yeah. Wis, not Wis, West.
Wisconsin. Jeez. Let me get it right.
Yeah, you always big, do that.
Big cheesehead.
All right, right, so you ever been? I mean, you won the Super Bowl. Did Tampa go? I mean, they didn't go that nuts.
Why not? It was the only one.
But they didn't set any cars on fire or anything, did they?
We were in San Diego. The best time I've had in a celebration was in college. We won the national championship at UNLV.
In what? Ping pong?
Basketball.
Oh, that's right.
No,
I thought you were going back to your football
you
career.
Don't be a Richard.
That was uncalled for.
That is a Richard move right there.
That was uncalled for, Keenan. I got your back.
Oh, I got it. So what was that? Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon and all them?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, you
and why was it the best? Because you're in Vegas?
Because I was there.
Okay.
What?
Right. And it was like unbelievable. We didn't turn the cop car over. We kind of bent the hood and the
standing
top. It wasn't standing on. We might as well have had.
But everybody
put
has
a
this
sledgehammer
clean
on.
Cut
everybody
image
was
of Keaton, and now all of a sudden Keaton was a delinquent.
We were rioting.
No, we wasn't rioting.
It sounds borderline rioting.
Like it.
We was partying.
Oh, when you do it, it's partying.
See, we didn't debate. We didn't debate on one side or the other. We didn't burn anything. We didn't go.
Listen,
less filling. You know, we didn't do all that.
Well, that's all they
Tastes
have.
Tastes great.
That's all they have in Wisconsin. There's no attractive women up there, so they just stand and debate each other in the street.
We was at the Tark
Barry
Bar.
Barry takes shots at everybody else.
We was at the Tark Bar watching the game. They win. We come out, and Maryland Parkway is like the middle of the school. Mm. Everybody was there. Traffic stop.
Yep.
And a couple police cars that was in
the team, where was that? Where was that Final Four played?
Seattle.
Oh, so they had a little trip before they got back?
Yes, they did.
Two Rockets championships, no riots.
That's good.
I'll tell you what. That was
But I guarantee you.
I can tell you that
I was on Richmond when they won, too, and it was insane.
I can kind of guarantee you if the Indians win tonight, it's going to be. Man. I mean, everybody thought basketball was
big. But Detroit's always got the bad rap for doing it, like going crazy, like looting and
But they're
let me just
partying.
Tell you. No, this. Let me. Detroit,
Cleveland's gonna have some fun tonight if they win.
After what I just saw on Twitter, Detroit is off the hook. El Jefe just tweeted a picture or a movie of a Cleveland fan in the streets who I guess they had horse patrol going by. Has anyone seen this?
Is this from this year?
Yeah, this dude picks up a piece of horse crap and eats
it. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh,
when he eats it.
What are you doing, Cleveland?
Man. Hey, they hadn't won anything
forever. You haven't won it yet? Why are you already eating horse crap?
It's championship horse crap.
Well, how about this? You haven't
crap.
Lost it yet either, so you don't have to eat it, so don't.
He just walks up and grabs a piece. I don't know.
Come on. There may be some more horse crap eaten tonight if they win.
If they lose, because they might lose a bet and have to.
Was a Cavs fan. Was it from the Cavs?
It was from the Cavs.
Oh, see, that's just ridiculous. So it was.
Well, I think it was 1965 since they won something with Jim Brown.
Matter.
Well, they've been known as the mistake by the lake for a long time because of their tragedies in sports.
No doubt. So
now they could be number one. Baseball, number one in basketball, and have the number one pick in football.
Confession time.
And be the last.
That's what I mean, number one pick in football.
I have eaten pizza off the ground when I was drunk.
Did you blow it?
No.
Five-second rule?
Whoa. No. Barry's blown a lot of things in his life, but never pizza.
All right.
Did you give it the five-second rule?
No. It was probably there for a couple minutes at least.
Dang.
Just like minutes.
I was drunk.
I thought he was saying he had blown on it for a couple minutes.
Yeah. Oh,
listen, just the sound of it, though. 2 minutes.
Whatever.
2 minutes? You let the pizza stay on the ground for two minutes.
No, it was just, I'm assuming it was there. It's,
you have a five second rule.
I saw it 2 minutes ago.
Did y'all ever dumpster dive?
And then when
dive?
I went back, it was still there.
If it was
so
in Houston
it.
And in the summer, dumpster probably bash. Kept it warm for
dumpster
you.
Dive.
Dumpster dive?
No.
No.
So in college, right? And now let me preface this by saying in college, I did not drink for the first 2 years. So I was the designated driver. But guys would know, like they had rules at certain restaurants that at a certain point you just throw out all the good food because they're closing up.
Right.
So literally I would be like the designated driver and the guys knew the spots, the pizza joints. There was a place called Rocky Rococo's Pizza Stuff. Guys would like get into the dumpster and find full pizzas and all the, you know, all the thrown outs. And they were just having, and they're drunk, so they don't care. They had a field day eating all that. A lot of college people can tell you they did that for a lot of years.
Why you ain't eating smack ramen, man?
Because when you can get pizza. No, Barry was blowing on the Vienna sausage. That's what he was talking about back in the day.
Really? Dumpster diving?
Dumpster diving.
That's nasty.
Ugh.
That's nasty.
That is nasty.
But I will say,
I can't give away all my stories now, but I got one where a dumpster dive actually turned into a gold mine for a lot of people that I know. But yeah, we don't want to get in.
No,
we can be incriminated, possibly.
I've done some, you know, shameful things when I was drunk, like eating pizza off the ground that I just found.
That you blew.
But I wouldn't. No, he said that. I didn't say that.
Oh. You said that?
You got to blow the dirt off.
He said that.
So you blow pizza. What's the big deal?
He said that. Okay. I'm not getting the dirt off. It's already on the ground. It's too late.
All right. So, North Turner, a guy that you guys have called not the quarterback blower, the quarterback whisperer. You, Trap, Sean, and you obviously played while he coached in San Diego. You shocked by what you saw in Minnesota that he stepped away today and that they just said differences of opinion?
I really was. I mean, you know, you get two things. 2 weeks you have some adversity with your quarterback. Right. Offense is not performing like you want. You don't have the weapons you want in the backfield, but you just don't walk away. I mean, it kind of shocked me that he walked away. And maybe him and Zimmerman have a little difference of opinion about what they should be doing right now. And you know, sometimes coaches' egos are bigger than what we know, and they just kind of split ways. And
so I threw it out earlier, all right? Bye week for your Texans, the Texans. Brock's had all these problems and all these issues. Everybody seems to be in agreement. If there's one guy, although Bill gets a lot of credit for being a quarterback whisperer, if there's one guy guaranteed to be a quarterback whisperer, it's Norv Turner. Would you at least bring him in as a consultant and say, hey, can you help us? Can you help Brock? Can you get some stuff done here for the rest of the year with our guy?
It'll be tough because I think if I know the systems like I think I know them, they're two different systems. I mean, if he comes in, he's just only trying to work with Brock just being a quarterback coach, not about helping them with their system, their passing game, their play calling, just helping them with getting through game management and stuff like that. I think it would be a possibility, but I doubt that.
But like hearing you guys talk off air and things like that, a lot of it comes down to fundamentals and kind of just getting back to basics. It seems like that's where Norv could possibly help him a great deal.
So you're telling me that quarterback coach over there, you're going to step on some toes over there on Kirby.
Bottom line is you want to win games. You might step on a few toes and stub a few nails, but at the end of the day, if it makes you a better football team and you win more games, I think a lot of people in the locker room would buy into that.
Well, they're 5-3 right now, so you can't tell them that right now.
I can tell them they haven't beaten anybody that's in the upper echelon.
It's coming.
He says it's coming. We'll see if he's right. Keenan McCardell's with us till 4. It's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack. We are ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and our special guest on Wednesdays, my good friend Keenan McCardell in studio. We've talked a little bit about rioting. We talked a little bit about Game 7. We talked a little bit about Norv Turner.
Dumpster diving.
Yeah, we cover the gamut here. We're not afraid to touch on topics other people won't touch, like Barry blowing on food before he eats.
Eating pizza off the ground after 2 minutes.
See, it goes both ways, man.
Yeah, but I don't make it up.
It's not made up. Keenan even called you out.
No, I just asked. Did he blow it off before ate it?
Thank you.
But after two minutes, it doesn't mean he can't blow anything. You just might as well eat it.
Oh, he would argue with you on that point. Nick, did you ever dumpster dive?
No, not really.
Nick, that is crazy, isn't it?
That's kind of crazy.
What do you got playing in there that we can
hear?
Oh,
we're playing. We're listening to a little Kendrick Lamar. She had a couple songs she wanted to add to the show.
Oh, okay. Ah.
Kirsten, that is.
Welcome to Nick's production studio. This is where the magic happens.
Why are you Kristen, talking like that?
Welcome in. This is Leon. What is your quandary?
You
ever seen the movie The Ladies Man?
No, I still haven't seen it. You need to see it. You've already told me.
So we were talking about North Turner at the break. We were talking about differences of opinions and rushing and not rushing. And
yes.
So we were talking about Minnesota and their inability to run the ball. They are currently averaging 2.7 yards a carry. They have 3 rushing touchdowns.
Bear, you could do that.
Yeah, I think I
could. By the way, he compared himself to Quentin Demps in size and everything.
He was
a strong safety yesterday.
We're the same.
Quentin, as long as they never have to run or do anything athletic, he compared himself to Quentin Demps.
Don't look. Just understand that we're both.
I'm looking for the bulge in your shirt. Whoa!
You said shirt. Okay.
We're both.
Hey, bro, your mind is bad today.
I'm saying. He freaked out.
I'm trying to keep it clean for the audience, and you said you're looking for his bulge.
You got to ignore him.
I'm
like a transformer, man. You don't know. I'm rolling down the street.
He's giving Phil Mickelson a run for his money on them.
Strong safety. You don't want him to that.
He's giving Felicia Mickelson a run for the money on the moves.
We're both 5. We're both 5'11", 210.
Right.
I'm a strong safety, just like him.
210 and one.
I
leg.
Have a strong safety body at 5'11", 210.
You have a strong
safety body.
Where
were you going with this football thing?
Don't have a strong safety body.
According to the numbers.
According to the 5'11", numbers, you got a good beer drinking body.
Quentin Demps and me.
You got strong a good beer safety. Drinking body right now. Keep going. Come on.
I was going. The direction I was headed is there are 2 teams that have less than 3 rushing touchdowns in the NFL. Do you want to guess who they are? Joe, do you want to go first? You may mention them once or 1,000 times a show.
Oh, the Packers are one of them, right?
Yeah. That's easy.
Eddie Lacy has been, from a fantasy perspective, wouldn't score. So Packers are one of them.
Anybody want to guess who the other one is?
The Texans?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. The Packers and the Texans have 2 rushing touchdowns so far this season.
That's
tell you what, the Vikings looked pretty bad the other night trying to get it inside the red zone when they were trying to run the ball, too, with Asiata.
Asiata.
Those first 2 carries inside the 5, and he went nowhere.
They looked like they were forced calls, too, that came from a defensive head coach, run the ball, because North Turner really didn't want to run
Zimmer's
the ball.
Did you see Zimmer's press conference today, too? Looked like he had just gone 10 rounds with Tyson. He had sunglasses.
He scratched his
cornea.
His cornea, yeah. I don't know. Oh.
Don't get into it. Yeah, you don't want
to get into that.
See, Nick? See?
He's throwing you under the bus, Nick.
It's all good.
I didn't bring it up.
Scratch cornea.
I got one that I wanted to bring up throughout the show, and it's something that you and I can both relate to. A good friend of ours called it a career yesterday. I mentioned it a little bit. But if you haven't seen it, the Players Tribune is an unbelievable source for getting a player's perspective on life, basketball, baseball, football, sports in general. Ray Allen wrote a letter to his 13-year-old self yesterday to announce his retirement. It is the best read that you can find this year. Please go check it out if you haven't. It's at theplayerstribune.com. But, Mac, you and I have been privileged to be friends with Ray for a long time.
Yep.
I think I introduced you to him at the tournament in Tahoe. I've known him since his days in Milwaukee. But your thoughts on, I think, one of the classiest, most professional guys on and off the court I've ever come across.
Yeah. If you never watched him play, you probably missed one of the most classiest guys that you ever known, and probably one of the most hardest working players you ever known.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably one of the most clutch shooters you ever known.
Right.
So to get to know him off the field has been really big because he's a really good friend. You know, he cares about you as a person.
Yep.
I mean, he's not one of those superstars where he's just going to blow you off. I mean, he's a guy.
Or front for you.
Front for you. He's going to tell you the truth. He's going to be down to earth. You know, and those are the type of people you love to be around. I mean, and, you know, the game is going to miss him. You know, you lost 3 leaders, Tim Duncan, the Big Ticket, and Kobe Bryant. Now you've lost Ray Allen. There's another leader that showed these young guys how to be professionals.
Yeah, I talked about his work ethic and how he used to show up 4 hours before games, do all this stuff. But then I made a comment that some people kind of, when we were talking all that yesterday, some people kind of argued with me when I said he's the greatest shooter of all time. Well, some of the people's argument was Steph Curry, and Steph Curry even came out and said, look, he gives me something to shoot for, but because of the length of his career and how long he did it at a certain level, there's no doubt that in Steph Curry's mind, Ray Allen, greatest shooter in the history of the game, and that's saying something. First ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt.
It shouldn't be a question, you know. I mean, Jesus Shuttlesworth. You know, we mess with him all the time about being Jesus Shuttlesworth.
When the All-Star game was here, we were walking down Travis, and some guy yells, "Hey, Jesus!" And Ray's like, "Yeah, hey, what's up?" And he goes, "I got game two, mother." And we all started laughing. And Ray just looked at us like, "Hey, man, you know, you could probably sign Bibles on Sundays."
He's a great person to be around. Just a great person, a great man, great father, and a great husband. I mean, he's a guy that I think could be on the sideline if he really wanted to.
He could be in the front office, the sideline, in the booth, and I guarantee if he ran for a political office, he could win. We're both friends with him on Facebook, and he keeps his Facebook clan kind of small. Yes. But boy, he's not afraid to get to the political ring either.
No, he's not. Of lately,
he's been very vocal.
He's been very vocal, and it's been great to read, and the letter was great to read also.
Wasn't it awesome?
It was awesome, man. And I think, if you haven't, I told my son to read it, you know, if you haven't read it, you should go out and read it. I mean, and I would say have a young athlete, please read it, because that's something that they can learn from.
And here's the thing, because I want to get something else before we let you go, but we're running short on time. But read that, the Players Tribune, read the article, what Ray wrote. Then, for perspective, read the article ESPN did today and just search Ben Simmons. Yes. And find out that the millennial kids in the NBA make you have a lot to worry about the sport of basketball, because their thought process ain't even close to Ray Allen. But another thing we want to talk about, Andre Johnson retiring.
That's another guy.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes, he is.
Because here's the thing.
He's going to be the first Texan Hall of Famer.
Will he be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I doubt if he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I'm biased in you, because you're my friend and because I've watched your stats for so long. But when you retired, I mentioned on the air today, you were like, what, sixth or ninth all time. And because it's such a pass-happy game, you know, you watch teams like the Colts and the Rams. Isaac Bruce has better stats than Andre Johnson in receptions, I mean yards and touchdowns, and he wasn't even a finalist for the Hall of Fame. So does that not bode well for Andre Johnson?
It doesn't bode well, but after a while, the league is going to want a player from every team in there. I hate to say it.
Good point.
And he'll probably be the first. And you know what? Isaac Bruce should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean,
I agree.
It's not even close.
I mean, and Torrey Holt in that greatest show on turf, but they both put up monster numbers.
Isaac Bruce was probably before he left. He was third behind Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison, and his Isaac Bruce. I mean, when you have over 1,000 catches, it wasn't a pass happy league back then.
Arian Foster, a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so.
I don't either. Neither does Barry.
Yeah, we haven't had anybody yet.
We got a guy on Twitter that said, a guy named Sean on Twitter that said, if Gale Sayers can be with a short career, Arian can be too. I said, look, Texans could possibly retire 23, but there ain't no way he's in the Hall of Fame.
It's a different era, though. You know?
And I said that. That's what we do. We sometimes agree. Most of the time we disagree, but all the time we have fun. That's what we do in the living room, and that's what we do Monday through Friday. Mac, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Barry, I will see you again tomorrow. Yes, we are here 1-4, and we will keep it real. Nick, as always, Captain One Eye behind the glass will make sure we keep it real and keep it on time. ESPN 97.5.